We are on Mem Aleph Amid Beis 41b4. We're up to 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines from the end of the page. Okay, the Gemara was discussing up to now, and the Gemara is going to continue discussing where we learn out the concept of a shliach. Okay, the last thing we were learning, the Gemara says it could have said atem. Instead it says gamatem. Gamatem means to include even a shliach. And then the Gemara says, but the other person turns it out from a different pasuk, gamatem teaches them that it has to be a Jewish shliach. Right? Ma'atem, b'nei b'ris, just like you're Jewish, it has to be Jewish. Then the Gemara says, though, but the Eved, the Gemara Mishnah says, cannot bring a get, because an Eved is not at all in the Torah of get in the Kedushin. There's no marriage and divorce by an Eved in relationship with Jews. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Rab Shimon. Okay, so last thing the Gemara says, I'm sorry. Because the Gemara says like this. By a guy, there's one opinion we learned in the Mishnah, that a guy could give Truma. Remember, as far as the din of Truma goes. So the Gemara says, I would think, therefore, he can even make a Shliach. So we say, no. Atem, Gamatem, even though by Truma, a guy could separate Truma, but he still cannot make a shliach. So the Gemara says, Rab Shimon, the Potar, according to Rab Shimon, that says, if a guy or an idolater separates Truma, it has no kedusha of Truma at all. The other opinion says like this, if a guy separates Truma, it's Truma enough that if you eat it, by mistake, you have to pay an additional fifth. Because it's still the concept of Truma. Okay, but according to Rab Shimon, the Gemara says the potter that says that if a guy separates truma, there is no kedusha in it whatsoever. The Tanam, because he says trumas evde kachavim, truma separated by an idolater or a guy, midamas prohibits, meaning it prohibits the entire mixture. This is not Rab Shimon's opinion. V'chayav in olal chaymish, and if a non-kreid eats it accidentally, he has to pay an additional fifth. But Rab Shimon paitur. Okay, the din is like this. What happens if truma falls into regular produce? And it's not 101 times to nullify it. The din is the whole thing is truma. It's the din. Because, let's say, meat and milk is 1 in 60, truma is 1 in 101. Okay? So if it falls in, the whole thing becomes a mixture of truma. What happens if a guy separates truma, and then that goyish separation becomes mixed with all the other? So the first opinion says, it all's truma. Okay? But Reb Shimon paiter. Reb Shimon says no. Okay? There's no kedusha if a guy separates truma whatsoever. If it falls into other things, it doesn't forbid it. If you eat it accidentally by a non-kohen, you don't have to pay an additional fifth, nothing. So the Gemara says, Atem gamatem lomali. According to Reb Shimon, why do you need the pasuk atem gamatem? Meaning like this. The Gemara said, a guy cannot be a shliach to give a get. And I don't even need a pasuk for it. It's logical. He has nothing to do with marriage and divorce. Right? A guy, like we said, if a guy marries a Jew, you don't need a get. There's no, nothing. So the Gemara said, so if that's the case, an Eved cannot be a shliach because he has nothing to do with marriage. Okay? So according to, the Gemara says, by Truma I learn out that you can make a shliach. Okay? Why would I think, But it has to be Jewish. Okay? Why would I think a guy could be a shliach? Because according to the Chachamim, a guy could separate truma. Right? A guy could separate truma. But the Gemara asks, according to Rav Shimon, that a guy cannot separate truma, why do I need the pasuk atem gamatem to tell me by truma, you can make a shliach, but he has to be a Jew? Of course a guy can't be a shliach to separate truma, because a guy can't separate truma himself. Right? How do you expect to do it? So Gemara says like this, Itzrich, I would think, Rav Shimon says, I need it. Atem gam atem. Why? Salka daitach amina, because I would think, Hoyel v'yom amar, because we said before in the Gemara, it says, Kem Torimu Atam. Okay? Then the Torah adds, Gam Atam. Yeah? Now, why does the Torah say Atam? The Torah says, every time it says Jews are going to do things, it doesn't say the word Atam. It's understood we're talking to Jews. So Gemara says like this, the word Atam by Truma teaches us a lot of dinim. For instance, there was something called in the olden times a sharecropper. Yeah. There's a concept called an oddis. An oddis is a sharecropper. What is a sharecropper? I own a field. I'm too lazy to deal with it. I hire you to run the field, and you get a percentage, a third, a quarter, a shlish, a rivi, a machzor, whatever the going rate was. So it's right, my field, but you have a pretty, you're not just a worker. You're like a shareholder, not a shareholder, it's called a sharecropper. You're responsible for the field. Whatever it makes, you get a certain percentage. It doesn't make anything, it loses money, it's your loss, not my loss. Okay? So the Gemara says, can the oris separate truma without permission of the owner? He works in the field, he has control over the field, can he separate truma? So the Brisa says no. The Mishnah says like this, Atem v'loy arisim. The Torah says, you separate truma, meaning only the owner, not even a sharecropper. Atem v'loy shutfim. You and not even a partner, meaning, if two people own a field together, and one partner separates truma without permission of the other partner, it's no good. Atem, it even goes a step further. Atem v'lei apotrupis. You are not even an administrator. Administrators like this. Apotrupis basically was when a person died and had kids, okay, and the guy left over fields for the kids. Okay, basically today it's called an executor. Okay? But in Hebrew, the Gemara, it's called an apotropis. Administrator. Bezdin would stick, the kids can't run a field, what do they know? Everybody's going to rip them off. So they would put in a guy, apotropis, he became the responsible person for the field. But he doesn't own it, it's really the kids. Right? He's an apotropis. It says, Atem v'le apotropis. You have to separate truma, and apotropis cannot separate truma. Okay? Atem, you, v'le ateinem esh'ein esh'olei. And you cannot separate truma that's not yours. Okay? In other words, Rashi says, I go into your field and separate truma for you. It's worthless. Okay? So I would think, so I would think if that's the case, maybe you can't even make a shaliach. In other words, the Torah says like this, Atem, you have to separate truma, meaning not a sharecropper, not a partner without the other permission, not the apotropis, nobody can. So I would think that a shaliach also can't. That's why the Torah says, Kamash Malon. The Torah says the word, Gam Atem, to teach me a shaliach, could.
And the owner can do it by himself?
Yes. Or a shliach.
How does the gam...
It's an extra word, gam.
And why does it have to mean shliach? It's an extension of you?
Correct.
So you don't need the gam either. I mean, it's pshita that the shliach is...
No, but I would think that not. By truma would be an exception. Because by truma you see, not a partner, not an apotropis, not an oris. So I would think maybe by truma only you could do it. So the Torah says no. Gam atem, even a shliach could do it. That's why I needed a contra Shimon. So the Gemara says, "Hey nicha le Rabbi Shua ben Korcha." Now the Gemara is going back to what we said before. Rabbi Shua ben Korcha said, "Remember the Gemara asks." How do we know by Hegdish, by Korbanis, you can make a shliach? Because maybe Hegdish is so holy that only you could do it and not a shliach. So the Gemara said, by Korban Pesach, the Torah says, V'shachtu Eisei Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael. That everybody should shecht it. The Korban Pesach. So the Gemara asked, does everybody shecht it? You don't have 100 people shechting one animal. One guy does it for everybody. Teaching us that you can make a shliach, an agent to shecht you, to bring your Korban Pesach. Who said that? Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Okay? But El Rabbi Yisun, the Gemara is asked, but according to Rabbi Yisun, the Mafik Lelahai Krol Ledosh Achrina, he learns that pasuk that everybody shechts it together. He doesn't learn it out like Rabbi Shimon Kocha teaches that you can make a shliach. He teaches, learns something else in that pasuk. If he learns something else in the pasuk, the question is, from where do we know by Hegdish you can make a shliach to make a korban for you? Because the pasuk Rabbi Shimon ben Kocha uses, learns it out from, he learns something else from that. And you can't learn two things from the same pasuk. So he says like this, what does Rabbi Enison learn from it? Minayin shekol Yisrael kulam yetzin v'pesach achad. How do I know that theoretically all Jews can fulfill the obligation with one Korban Pesach? How do I know? Shenama, because it says Rashi explains an interesting thing. Rashi says, according to Rabbi Yenison, it's interesting, there's no mitzvah to eat the Korban Pesach for every Jew. The mitzvah is to shecht it. Because technically, not according to Rabbi Yenison, right? When you slaughtered a Korban Pesach, how did it work? In the olden times, in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, at Pesach, they brought two sacrifices. The Korban Chagiga, which was brought every holiday. The Torah says, don't see me empty-handed. You have to bring a Korban. Pesach, they had an additional Korban called Korban Pesach. So how did it work in the Beis Hamikdash? The families, whatever, shechted the Korban Chagiga. Okay? Everybody ate the meal with that. At the end of the meal, like we eat Afikayman, at the end of the meal, everybody ate a kezayis, 1 ounce of the Korban Pesach. That was it. You had to eat it when you were full, but not stuffed, like they say in America. You had to eat it when you were full, not stuffed, but basically it was dessert. That was dessert. They didn't have ice cream or chocolate cake. They had, dessert was Korban Pesach. That's why the last thing we eat is the Korban, the Afikayman, because that's the members of the Korban Pesach. Now, so how did people work with Korban Pesach? Let's say they figured out, I mean, animal is a lamb, it's not a buffalo, you know, it's a lamb. So let's say they figured out that, just for argument's sake, that 50 people will have a kezayis, an ounce. Right? Every Jew has to eat an ounce. So they figured, let's say, the animal, let's say, let's say it would give 50 ounces of meat, so 50 people joined in the Korban Pesach. Yeah, that's the way it worked. But then every person had to have enough of a kezayis. You can't have 100 people for 50 ounces of meat. Because every Jew needs one kezayis, there's an ounce. So you can't have one animal for 100 people, because then every person's going to get a half an ounce. That's not enough. Rabbi Yonason says no. The truth is, you can have one Korban Pesach for the entire Jewish nation, for 600,000 people. The Korban Pesach doesn't have enough meat for everybody. He holds, like Rashi says, he holds, you don't need to eat the Korban Pesach. You need to shecht it and squirt the blood on the Mizbeach. So Rabbi Yonason says, where do I learn this out from? From the same Pasuk that the other one learns Shlichas from. He learns it out, he says, Shenamar, because the Pasuk says, V'shachtu Eisei Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael Beno Arbayim, and the whole community has to shecht it. So he says, V'chi Kol HaKol Kulam Shechtim, does everybody shecht it? One guy shechts it. Halei Shechet Ein El Echad, only one guy shechts it. Al Mikah, from here we learn, unlike Rabbi Yeshua Ben Karcha says, we learn out from here that you can make a shliach, Rabbi Yonason learned something else in this Pasuk. Shakol Yisrael Yaitim Bepechad Pesach Echad. That all the Jews can be Yaitim with one carbon Pesach. They can fulfill their obligation. So now the question is, if that's the case, Shliach Bekachim Inoli. How does he know? By a Hegdish, by Karbonis, by holding things, you can make a Shliach. We learn it out from the Pasuk Korban Pesach. But he learns that Korban Pesach for a different teaching. So how does he know that you can make a Shliach? He says, Minei from the Pasuk itself. Why? Because what does the Pasuk say? One guy, Shechtzit. In other words, the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yonasan learns two things from the Pasuk. Number one, because it says, Kol Kahal Adas Yisrael, that you can have one for all of it. From the word v'shachtu, you don't have everybody shachting. One guy shachts. So you learn out two things from the same pasuk. You learn out one thing, that everybody can have one carbon Pesach. And the second thing we learn out, that you can shacht for somebody else, because you can be a shliach. What?
How does he learn that instead of eating, it's enough to sprinkle the water, the blood?
That's what heals. Because heals, you don't have to eat it. The Torah doesn't say...
Just as
shechtish. Yeah.
This so how does the other
opinion
learn that?
Because there's another pasuk that says, but he also, it's not a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. You can eat the meat. Does everybody have to eat the meat? No, you're not everybody has to eat the meat. But
this comes from, it's the same as killing their god.
It's a remembrance of that. Yeah.
Remembrance of that.
Yeah.
So at that time, everybody had to do it. At the time that we were leaving Mitzrayim?
Correct.
Everybody had to eat it. It was a mitzvah in
Mitzrayim. But Rabbi Yonasan holds that there's no actual mitzvah by eating it.
It's also in singular term, the shachatu.
No, the shachatu is plural. Shachatu means they.
They should.
A single them. Shachatu oto.
Yeah, but it that wouldn't be a problem in grammar because Isai means
each person
bright.
But in Torah, at the time of living in Mitzrayim, he doesn't say Shechtan eat it, just says Shechtan, right?
No, the Torah says Vichlos Abatsa Balayla Azeh. Yeah. But Rabbi Yonasan holds that's not the actual mitzvah. The actual mitzvah is actually squirting the blood.
It's not the accepted opinion.
No, the law is not like Rabbi Yonasan. Okay, so the Gemara answer is like this. V'del Mishani Hosam, maybe over there is different. That by Korban Pesach. Because Korban Pesach, everybody is a partnership in the Korban Pesach. So maybe over there you can have a Shliach. Because they're really all partners. How do I know you can make a Shliach even when you're not a partner? Because what do you say by Korban Pesach? What animal is good for all the Jews? That means everybody's a partner in it. Maybe that's why you can make a shliach, because maybe a partner could be a shliach. How do I know a non-partner could be a shliach? So Gemara says, Elamehocha, different pasuk. It says like this. You know where Rabbi Yonasan derives that you could be a shliach by Hegedish? Also from a pasuk of a Korban Pesach. It says, Vayichu lohem ish sele veso v'sele bayis. Should take for themselves each man a sheep for a household. Okay? Because, so who's taking it? Ish. One man takes for a household. How could he take for a household why doesn't every person have to take himself? What does the Torah say? Each man should take for his household. That teaches us that a household can make a shliach to take the carbon. So the Gemara says, V'dilma, Pasim nami isle shutas begavei. Maybe over there's also partnership because every person is part of the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if that's the case, why do I need two psukim? One v'shachtu and one v'yikhu. Why do I need two psukim teaching me the same din that by Korban Pesach, because you're a partner, you can also be a shliach? I don't need two psukim. And that's where the rule in Torah goes like this. Im eine inyan lehechad shayich. If you don't need it where it's, you don't need it, put it where you do need it. There's a rule in halacha like this. If there's an extra pasuk, and I don't need it in the place where the pasuk says it, because it's understood already, so the extra pasuk, I'm going to teach me for a different halacha where I need it. In other words, it says like this, two psukim are teaching me that by Korban Pesach, where you have a partnership, you can make a shliach. One is v'shachtu, and one is v'yichu. Take, each man should take for his household, right? So I have two psukim telling me by Korban Pesach, where all Jews are partners, that you can make a shliach. Now why do I need two psukim to teach me the same thing? That if you're a partnership, you can make a shliach. One telling one person, why do I have to tell me the same thing twice? So Gemara says, the rule is, I'm going to put it to where it doesn't apply here. Meaning that you can make a shliach even when you have no partner. In other words, one pasuk teaches me you can make a shliach when there's a partnership, when they're all partners, and the second pasuk teaches me even when there's no partnership, you can still make a shliach. And that's how, according to Rabbi Yonason, we learn how do you make a shliach by kachim even if there's no partnership. Because by Korban Pesach, where there is a partnership, the Torah says the same thing twice. So the Torah, the Gemara says, what it teaches us like this. When there's a partnership, you can make a shliach. And even when there's no partnership, you can make a shliach. So the Gemara's bottom line is, I mean, we're not done yet with the Gemara. The Gemara goes to the next few pages, all about the laws of shliach. But the Gemara is still trying to figure out, by all the various different dinim, by monetary things, by truma, by hegdish, we need different psukim to teach me, in all these cases, you can make a shliach to do things. Because now the Gemara says, but haimi boile, the Rabbi Yitzchak, I still need it. What do you mean it's an extra pasuk? I need it for the Yitzchok's din. That what? Ish zeicha, v'leya katan zeicha. This is a very interesting din. What does it say? It says that a man, ish, could take a korban for the family. Right? So we're saying it's an extra pasuk, teaching us that even when there's no partnership, you can make a shliach. Right? But the Gemara says, but that's not an extra pasuk. Because there's a din like this. A man could do something for somebody else. But if he's a katan, he's not an ish. When do you become a man? Ish within the bar mitzvah. So the Torah says, in other words, the question is like this. Can a 9-year-old kid take the Korban Pesach for his family? No.
Take it
and bring it to the house and get it for them. And bring it to the Beis HaMikdash to be shechted. Yeah. So Gemara says you can't. Because what does the Torah say? Ish. What does it say? V'yichu lehem ish. It has to be a man. Okay? Now, if that's what I'm learning out from the pasuk's not extra anymore. That means, again, going back to the Gemara, one pasuk by Korban Pesach teaches me that you can make a shliach. But the Gemara says maybe that's only when there's a partnership. How do I know that even if there's no partnership, you can make a shliach? So the Gemara quoted the second pasuk, which is extra, that says each man can take a lamb. Right? Which means he can be a shliach. But the Gemara says it's not extra. It's teaching me another law, that you have to be a man to do it and not a kid.
The kid is not having
mitzvah
to begin with. So? So why should we think that the
pasuk is talking
about a kid? To be a shliach is not a mitzvah. A kid can't be a shliach either, by the way.
Yeah.
And one of the sources we learn out, that says ish. A kid can't be a shliach.
No.
No.
So why should we think that the pasuk would think about...
Okay, so Taisus asks your question with a different twist. Taisa says, the Gemara says in Gittin, a katan has no yad. A katan has no ability to acquire.
Right.
Okay? So how could he take? Why do we need a... If a kid can't acquire, why do we need a person to tell me a man has to acquire? A kid anyway can't. Basically, you're asking the same question. He can't be a shlich. So Taisa says, you're right. But by Korban Pesach, a kid has to eat it. Ish selevesave selebayis. That means when you count the Korban Pesach, kids are counted. when you figure out how many people you need the Korban Pesach for, kids are counted. So I would think over here, because he's part of the mitzvah, maybe over here is different than he could take. So the Pasuk says no, it has to be Ish and not a cotton.
And also from
Ish. I just want to say dinim, it's a very interesting concept. It's a little bit relevant to the Gemara, but it's going off a little bit. I can acquire something for you. I can acquire something for you. A kid can't acquire. Now, even that, there's different levels of kids. Okay? For instance, we learned already, we're discussing already, I think at the beginning of the Masechta. Kinyan, which means acquisition. Okay? Normal acquisition is, there's a giver and a taker. If I sell you something, give you a gift, and you acquire it, I am giving and you are taking. That's normally the way it works. What happens if something is what's called hefker? It's free for all. A lost article in the street. You walk in the street and you see something. You pick it up, you acquire it. The truth is, you're missing 50% of the equation. Nobody's giving it to you. You're just taking it. But it still works. It works. Okay? Then there's a din like this. A kid that knows the difference between a stone and something worthwhile, that means he has enough seichel between tzrer v'zorkei egoiz v'naitlei, the Gemara uses the expression. He knows the difference between, if you give him a pebble, he'll throw it away. If you give him a nut, he'll keep it. In other words, he's not brilliant, but he's mature enough to know the difference between a stone and a nut. That kid could only acquire if you give it to him. Let's say the age is 6. Let's say a 6-year-old kid knows the difference between a pebble and a nut. Yeah? If the 6-year-old kid walks in the street and finds a lost article and picks it up, he does not acquire it. He does not acquire it.
An adult could take it away by force.
Yeah, the Chacham don't let, because you're going to have kicking and biting and scratching and yelling. And the Chacham said, you know what? We're going to let him keep it. But technically, it's not his. He can't acquire something. The only time, though, it says, a kid that knows the difference between nuts and stones, if somebody gives it to him, then he could acquire it. Why? Because then the knowledge of the giver helps the receiver, who's a kid, to acquire it. But if there's no giver, a kid can't acquire it until bar mitzvah. A baby that doesn't even know the difference between a stone and a nut, and they don't know, like a 2-year-old, even if you give him something, he doesn't acquire it. Because even the knowledge of the giver is not going to help him. It's not going to help him because he has so, pardon the expression, brainless or matureless, whatever word, that even if you give him something, he can't acquire it. He doesn't know what he's doing. So there is a katan that has no yad. In other words, very interesting. A katan can't do kedushin. 11-year-old kid, 12-year-old kid that didn't reach puberty yet, yeah? Takes something that he has. His father gave him a present. Yeah, he can acquire it because he's over the age, yeah? 12-year-old kid comes over to a girl, over bas mitzvah, and says, Areyat mekudeshasi b'tabazu k'das meshav Yisrael. And she takes it. It's totally invalid. Why? Because a kid can take, but he doesn't have the ability to give. He can't give. a girl under bat mitzvah, the father could accept the kedushin for her. But then it's the father accepting and not the girl. If a guy comes over to a girl and gives her a ring, it's worthless. The father can accept it for her. But a kid can get English get, not a Hebrew get. The English, he can take something, but he can't give something. So the Gemara says, this pasuk is teaching us that ish over here means an adult. So the Gemara asks, so then how do I know that this pasuk is not extra anymore? It's not extra teaching me you can make a shlich when there's a partnership, and because it's extra teaches me you can make a shlich even when there's no partnership. Here the pasuk is teaching me, like Rabbi Yitzchok says, ish zeicha, okay, and not katan zeicha. Only an adult can acquire for somebody else, not a kid. That means technically, according to Rabbi Yitzchok, if you send a 10-year-old kid to the store to buy something for you, and he buys it for you, you don't. It's not yours.
Until you get it, until you receive it.
Well, then if you're the first guy to get it, yeah. But technically, according to Rabbi Yitzchok, if somebody would take it away from the kid, he wouldn't be stealing. Because a kid cannot acquire something. Once the adult gets it, it's his. He acquired it.
It's hefker, but
not hefker. It's not the kid's.
It's not.
It's a very strange thing. The seller gave up his ownership from it, but the other guy didn't get it yet.
So, in transition. If the buyer didn't get it from the kid, who's chayiv? The seller is still chayiv. The seller didn't complete the sale to the proper recipient.
So whose is it?
So the seller is responsible to get the merchandise to the buyer. If the kid loses it.
What happens if the father sent the kid to do it and the guy gives it to the kid? And he says, you told me to do it. No, then the father is responsible.
The father is?
Yep. Okay. So Gemara says like this. The truth is, Rabbi Yitzchok's din, that a man could be kain and not a kid, that you could learn out from a different pasuk. It says, ish lefi ochle, each man according to his own eating. Right? Therefore, it has to be a man, not a kid. So he says, Vakati mi boyle, but I still need the pasuk for a different thing. That what? Sheikh, then, as a pesach ala yochid. That you can even slaughter the carbon pesach, even if it's for an individual. Rabbi Yossi holds, it's Rabbi Yossi's opinion, that you can shecht a carbon pesach for one person, as long as he can eat all the meat. He have a big stomach. As long as he can eat all the meat of the whole animal, even one guy can get a carbon pesach. So therefore, again, that pasuk teaches us that ish, that you can shecht the carbon for one man. So again, the question is, how do we learn out that you can make a shliach even when there's no partnership?
Do you worry about Nisa?
That's why, because of Nisa, that he has to be able to eat all the meat. And by the way, the Aloch is a Krabiasi in this. Because it says, Ish lefi ochloi, not ochlom. Ochloi is singular.
His eating.
Not their eating. So it means you can shach the carbon pesach for one guy, as long as he's able to eat it.
But also, it's
a no, what does it have to do?
No.
So he says like this. Savalo command the Omar. Okay, so you know in Abyanis and holds that you can't shecht the carbon pesach for an individual. He holds he can't. So therefore the pasuk's extra. The pasuk's extra, you can teach me that you can have shlichus. The mother is going about back and forth according to every opinion that holds something. How do we know you can make a shlich? And now the Gemara is not done. The Gemara says like this. Rav Gidl, Amirav said a din like this. He learns a different pasuk. How do I know that you can make a shliach and the shliach is just like you? Shenema, because it sounds like this. Nasi echad, nasi echad mimata. When they divided up the land, okay, Hashem sent Tomesha ben, who divides up the land? The head of the tribe, the Nasi, right? Divided up the tribe for everybody. That means the Nasi, okay, you get this land, you get this land, you get this land, you get this land.
Huh? How does he make that decision?
We'll soon see how he makes it. But the bottom line of the decision is, let's say there's 100 people in the tribe, he is the shliach of all the 100 people, giving them their land. So you see that you could make a shliach, right? By giving out the land.
There are thousands of people in the tribe.
That's right, but who divided it up? The pasuk says, Nasi Echad, Nasi Echad Mimata, each Nasi. You know what it is to have 2 million Jews dividing the land?
Mm-hmm.
You know what it's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Torah says, there's 12 leaders, each guy, he's going to break his head. He has to divide the land for the tribes. Every person gets a piece of land, right? Well, it's divided by families, don't forget.
Yeah, but how much land do they get? That's the question.
Well, it went two ways. It went based on numbers and based on lottery. The Torah says, and this is a unique miracle, the Gemara says. The Pasuk says, Eretz Yisrael was divided like this. Ach b'goyrol yecholik asa'oretz. You divide up the land by lottery. Okay? The land was divided into 12 parts. Mm-hmm. And then they wrote, where are they? Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Who gets what? Levi doesn't get. Reuven, Shimon, Yehuda, right? So they had 12 areas of land. They wrote on another 12 pieces of paper the names of the tribes. Right? And then they picked one from each hat.
Out of a hat?
One from each hat. Two hats.
Okay.
One was a shtaimel, and one was a hat. Make sure everybody's happy. So they picked, so you had one hat, so to speak, with all the names of the tribes. You had one hat with 12 pieces of paper dividing the boundaries of the land. Guy picked one and one, and that's what they got. In addition to that, the Torah says, L'rav tarbes nachlosai. If a tribe had more people, they got a bigger land. If they had less people, they got less land. So how does it work? Is it lottery? Or is it logical? And the Gemara says, the miracle was, the lottery worked on the logic.
According to the
logic. In other words, the lottery was that the bigger tribe ended up getting a bigger piece of land.
The calculated lottery.
The calculated lottery. What's called Hashem calculating the lottery.
Iron Miklat was not divided. Iron Miklat was until reserved for Levim.
It was given to the cities, to the Levim.
Cities, right? Levim had cities. Forbidden cities.
Yeah.
So this wasn't done through Goren.
There are 42 cities.
And these 42 cities were scattered throughout
the Right. So? But in the six Ari Miklat, the Levim didn't have to pay rent. The other lands, they had to pay rent.
To
the owner of the land. The land was owned by the tribe that it was in. Except Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was tribeless. No, it's wrong. It wasn't tribeless. It was all. It belonged to everybody, not to nobody. Yerushalayim belonged to everybody, not to nobody.
But really, it belonged to Yehuda and Benjamin.
No, it's geographically.
It was in the
Havdil, billions, billions, billions of Havdolas. Washington, D.C., geographically, is in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not under Virginia.
D.C., it's under government.
It's under its own world.
That's run by the...
La Havdil, billions, billions of Havdolas. Vatican City is in Rome, but it's not under Rome. It's not under Italian government. It's his own country.
Independent.
It's independent.
And D.C. is run by the government.
Bechlal, there's a very interesting shaila. Something which is hefker, does it belong to everybody or nobody?
Belongs to everybody. If it belongs to nobody, you can't have anything, eh?
The oceans are countryless. Okay.
So it belongs to
everybody. But maybe it belongs to nobody.
It belongs to nobody and allowed to take it.
No, when you take it, it becomes yours. It's an interesting shaila in halacha. And in one of the Rashi sichas, Rebbe proves what Rashi in Chumash holds. Rashi with two words says, in other words, it's something, let's see, this is hefker, free for all, ownerless. This book, let's say, for argument's sake, it's a lost article on the street, ownerless, it's free for all. Now, in halacha it says like this, does that mean it belongs to everybody? Or does it belong to nobody? What is conceptually the difference? When I take it, does it then become mine? Or when I take it, that removes everybody else's ownership? If everybody agrees, once I take it, it's mine. Right? Does that mean that I'm acquiring it now? Or does it mean, no, it was always mine. But by taking it now, I'm removing everybody else's in the world ownership on it.
Well, how does it make a difference?
You know where it makes a difference? Only by one guy. His name was Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon, when he was the only person in the world, yeah? Yeah? Now the world at that time was Hefker. Did everything belong to him, or only what he acquired belonged to him?
Everything belonged to
him. Understand the question? Adam, by me and you, it doesn't matter, because whether it's mine or yours, but where it's really halachic difference, Adam Rishon, when he was the only man in the world, correct? At one time, he was the only guy in the world. Did everything in the world automatically belong to him? Or no, it belongs to nobody. What Adam Rishon acquired was his. So what does Rashi say in Chumash, the beginning of Ayikra? Adam ki Yakriv. So Rashi says, Lama Nemer Adam. Beginning of Ayikra, Rashi says, why does it say Adam? To teach us. This is what Rashi says. Just like Adam Rishon never brought a stolen korban. Shahakol hayashalai, Rashi says, because everything belonged to him, the same thing, you're not allowed to bring a stolen korban. And as normally the Torah uses the word ish. Adam is very uncommon in Chumash. Right? Usually it's ish. So Rashi says, why over here by korbanas does it say Adam, it should say ish ki akriv? So Rashi said, because we're from the Gemara, but the Medrash and the Gemara say, it teaches us, just like Adam Rishon didn't steal, the same thing, you're also not allowed to steal. You can't steal an animal and bring it as a carbon. But Rashi adds the words, Shahakol Hayashalo, that everything was his. Now you see, Rashi in Chumash learns in Pshat, in the simple meaning, that Hefka means it belongs to everybody. And therefore, Adam Rishon was the only man in the world. Automatically, everything belonged to him.
Before he had a wife, or even after he had a wife? Because he's a man, and she cannot acquire him.
Did Adam Rishon have a din of a Jew?
Some ways, yeah.
This din of Mashakana Ishakana Baila, so when a woman acquires, but it belongs to the husband. Is that it then only by Jews or Goyim? I don't know. And before Matan Torah is a whole different... Okay. So Gemara says like this. Why can't we learn out Shlichas from here? Okay. Why is there Rav, Amar Rav Gidl Amar Rav? Why Rav is saying, how do we know Shlichas? We learn out from the Nasi dividing Eretz Yisrael, right? So the question is, but we have already the other Psukim teaching me a Shlich is good. Why do we need this Pasik? Sigmar answers back, Tis b'raha shlichusu. This is not shlichus. This that the Nasi divided the land, the Gemara says, is not because he's the shliach. And the Gemara says, I'll even prove it to you. Why? There were kids, parents died young, yeah? There were kids that were getting Eretz Yisrael. You can't, a kid can't make a shliach. So the Nasi, you can't say he did it as a shliach of the tribe, because the kids in the tribe can't appoint an agent. They're kids. Kids can't make a shliach. Just like a kid cannot be a kid cannot make a shliach. Right? So you can't say this is the din in shliach. They have to have a different din completely.
What about the daughters? What are the daughters of what?
Tzlochot.
Yeah.
They got their father's land, not their own. So Gemara says, "Elo ha'ki oda ravuna the rava bar avuna." It's the teaching of rava bar avuna. It says like this: "The amen avuna rava bar avuna amen rav gidol amen rav rava bar avuna." Said name of rav gidol, the name of rav. This is also a remarkable din. Minayin shazochin la adam shalei befonav. How can I know? How do I know you could do something good for somebody? Something good. Without even knowing about it. Mm-hmm. How do we know that I could do something good for you and you don't even know about it? Shenamar Nasi Echad Nasi Echad. Because the prince, the Nasi, gave out the land. Right? Not everybody was there. They weren't all there when they were dividing. The Nasi had a meeting and he figured out this guy gets this, this family gets this, this family gets this, and that's what he did. What does that teach me? You can do something good for somebody even without him knowing about it. For instance, according to Halacha and this Gemara, if I pick something up in the street, free for all, okay, and I say, I'm picking it up for you. I'm picking it up. You don't even know it. You don't even know that it's there. You don't even know anything. I say, I'm picking it up for you. The din is, you acquire it. Of course, how can you acquire it? You didn't make me an agent. You didn't make me a shliach. You don't even know about it. So, in this pasuk we learn that you can do something good for somebody even if they don't know about it. And it's theirs.
From which pasuk did the Nasi?
Nasi Echad. Because the Nasi did it. For everybody else. They didn't even know about it. The Gemara is going to ask, 1 minute. But not everybody was happy with what they got. Typical. Right?
They didn't know about it. They didn't
no, because chayv, chavin, you can only do it befun of. Bad things you can only do in their face, in front of them. You can't do bad things not in front of them. But I could do good things for you without you even knowing about it. Sigmaris, but if not everybody was happy with the land, then it wasn't good, it was bad. So how could you do it for them if they didn't want, for them it was bad? Sigmaris is going to say he did the best he could, so for them it was good. Jews are never going to be happy anyway.
Is that only by saying, or even if you have, if you think about it?
Like what?
I find something, and think I'm going to do it to him. I'll pick it up for him. But I'm not going to verbally say.
No, if you had in mind when you picked it up that you're doing it for them, they get it.
Automatic?
Yeah.
You don't have to say it?
No.
Can you change your mind and keep it yourself then?
No. Is it? Unless if you want to lie that you never thought it. Yeah. Tomorrow you say a magbia mitzia lechaveira kana chaveira. If I pick up something for you, you acquire it. Ah, you didn't know about it. This rule zochin laadam shalei befanav. You could do it without even knowing about it.
You cannot change your mind. As you said.
No, once it's done, it's done.
And he has to take it?
He can give it away. He can give it away, but technically it's his. Doesn't have to keep it if he doesn't want, but it is.
This way, like, you're doing a mitzvah?
Not only a mitzvah is also good. If I'm saying, if I do a mitzvah for you, let's say, you know, I can't donate $1 million for you and say, oh, it's a mitzvah. But I can do things, you know.
Let's say you take a little money and you put aside for that person.
Yeah.
He doesn't know about it. But you put this here, he says, you know what, if God forbid this and that and so on, he has this money.
No, over there we're talking, here's a different story. You're saying, if this happens, you know, here we're saying, I'm picking it up for you.
Yeah, it's picked up and it's for him.
Right. So then he acquires it.
And is that a mitzvah? If he saw, he can't.
I'm not talking about a mitzvah, it's just good.
But
if something
I don't
good.
Want it. I don't.
Then for him it's bad, then he doesn't. Then he gives it away. You can't force somebody to acquire something you don't want.
Right.
He could choose to not take it, to not accept it.
That's what I'm saying. He could choose not to accept it. But if it's something negative, then not.
If it's negative, you cannot you cannot do it for something.
Correct. I mean, this is a many-faceted din.
The point is that
fun of or not, it's a lot of dinim. I'll give you a very simple example, which you would never dream that it's connected to this concept. A man and married to a woman, okay, and they're getting divorced. She refuses to take a get, but she's fooling around with other men. Okay? So even though as a rule, a get is looked upon as something negative for the woman, because she doesn't want to be divorced, right? What Beis Din will do sometimes, they'll write a get, the husband will come to Beis Din, write a get to his wife, somebody else, but she refuses to come. Okay? They'll have somebody else acquire it for the wife. She doesn't want it. But Torah says, for her to be divorced, at least she's not committing adultery. She's not committing adultery. So for her, it's good. It's a schus to get the get. So somebody could do it even if she doesn't know about it.
No.
They do the tada yay. Yeah. But they're not going to normally write a get, you know, if a woman's not fooling around, okay, and the woman, let's say, refuses to take a get. You can't have somebody else acquire the get for the woman, because she said, for me, it's bad. I don't want it. It's not good. But sometimes when she's sinning, Torah says it's good. If Torah says it's good, then it's a schus. So it depends, you know. It's din not only in imamim, it could be in a lot of different dinim.
I'm on business question. Let's say you go buy something and have it in mind that I'm going to give my customer the first chance to buy it. You have it in your mind, and you don't.
That's not a problem. You're giving them the first chance. I could change my mind.
Oh, that's not like why. Okay.
I can think to myself, fine. I'm going to give you a present. And that could change my mind.
Okay.
You didn't get it yet. Just because I thought I'm going to give you a present, you still didn't acquire it until I give it to you. And then until then, I could change my mind. But here you're picking it up for your friend. When you're picking it up, your intention is, I'm not acquiring it, he's acquiring it.
And if you buy to give it to Moshe, then you decide you don't want to give it to Moshe, you acquired it.
Yeah, but the question, did you, your intention was to sell it to him or to give it to him? Again, there's a lot of legalities with this din. We're learning the broad din. There's millions of details in this. In Chesh Mishpat, there's chapters on this stuff.